Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Tuesday, everybody. We have made it to another day, and today is a big day, at least for us. But before we get into that, I am going to start off by thanking God for another day of making it here to mix it up with all of you. I want to thank Mary Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City. Currently with isoradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on ISO Radio on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing the best of venues in New York City with the best of live R&B events. As the CEO of Track One Entertainment, okay, you guys know when you go out to one of Barry's events, you do not come back disappointed. No matter how big or small the event, there's always something big. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, Monster Miles, DJ Domek, Rodney Williams. To my activist and wonderful panelist and awesome co-host and team member, Deacon Zeddy Williams of Toledo, Ohio, doing his thing. He was not able to join us yesterday. Hopefully we'll hear from him today that everything has cleared up and he'll be able to join us in on tonight's discussion. I want to say an extra special thank you to my regular Fab Five starting panelists, to Mr. Salo Jenkins, to Alteriq Atkins, to Professor Carlton Jones, Patrick Irvine, and Tylon Washington, Hakeem Zayed Bey. You guys have been awesome in everything that you do on and off the air, and I want to thank you for the endless support. I want to thank you three in particular, Alteriq, Salo, and Professor Carlton Jones for an outstanding input last night and outstanding contributions to the subject last night regarding Donald Sterling. Now, with that being said, let me shout out my social media, of course, to my On the Edge Listeners Lounge, my wonderful listeners / supporters. You guys are awesome. I want to thank Rachel Ruffin for being our first official merchandise purchaser. I want to thank Stephanie Jano, yesterday's sponsor, and our amazing OTE music artist, Entry. She's also the winner of Track One Entertainment. So You Think You Can Sing competition. And in addition, we want to thank the Real World Black News and Discussions Group. Black Love and Conversations Group, you guys were very, very, very talkative today in the pre-broadcast discussion. So I want to thank you for that, because a lot of the mindset of how everybody's feeling came out through your replies today. To the Black History Suppress Group, Capitalist End Group, definitely Professor Carlton Jones and What About Us, and to all of you other guys out there that have been emailing me today and speaking on yesterday and today's upcoming topic, I want to thank you very much. Now, with that being said, before I head into our pre-broadcast song and break, I want to announce, you know that Tuesdays is our writer showcase. For a couple of minutes in the early part of this, there's a few things that I would like to discuss. First of all, I've been trying to reach him, but I haven't been able to get to him personally, but I want to honor one of our own today as the writer of the week, and that is Mr. Patrick Irvine. This man has written two very brilliant articles about the Donald Sterling situation, in addition having his YouTube documentary of the article brought more passion and understanding to it. So Patrick, if you're listening, I'm honoring you today, and I thank you for the passion that you have, for your endless community activism out there, for the company that you want to offer, you know, some uplifting and some actual rejuvenation into our communities. But I do want to explain that this situation, as much as we shouldn't be surprised with the actions, the natural instinct actions of a dog such as this one. But today was a victory in itself, and we know that it was the only victory that we could obtain if they were smart, but it wasn't really from caring about the situation. So for those of us that are a little still griping about the fact that we didn't get a full 100%, let me explain this to you. For all that we have allowed to happen to us from this man, for all that we have let him walk around reconditioning and adding on to his preconditioned thinking that this is the normal culture of things, I'm going to tell you, your outrage got us as much as we're going to get, and I think it's a hell of a victory considering what we've been given our own selves. So the fact that that man, while he's still a racist, he hasn't apologized for a damn thing. Nobody really did this because they really care about the plight of black struggling or black maltreatment. But at least those players can get on the court in his smug little face, and their morale be messed up because he's up there letting them know, I've got money, I own you, and guess what? I can pay the fine. It doesn't bother me. I did that, done that, right off, no problem. At least they don't have to look in his face and see that. At least he won't be owning any more teams that are 90% made up of the people he can't stand publicly and otherwise. At least he will never have the option again to taint, appeal, or do anything that deals with the NBA. And for that, I say, at least for now, it's a digestive relief to our heartburn. Now, moving along, I want to say thank you to Patrick Irvine for his brilliant assessment of the fact of black outrage that is not directed where it should be. But the fact that those of us that are outraged that haven't done anything about it or made a change or boycotted anything, well, then don't say anything about it, or why are you outraged? I agree totally, Patrick. And I thank you for being one of those few people added on to the list of names that I mentioned yesterday that should be awarded, Spike Lee, Larry and Magic Johnson, to Doc Rivers, to President Obama. I'm going to give him a half point, to Jalen Rose. And to all of you that were on this panel last night that actually cared, and to the rest of you that are actually not just simply sitting back and raging the world with your rage against the world of this man, but still going out there and doing stuff. So for those of you who that doesn't apply to, kudos to you. So getting back to what we're going to be speaking about tonight, I am actually going to open up the first 15 minutes of tonight's discussion after the break to allow all of us that feel like calling in to give a short reaction to tonight's verdict, victorious that we are in this one, and we do deserve that because after dealing with the Trayvon Martin and the Jordan Davis verdict catastrophes, the least that we could do is at least celebrate one that at least looks real and sincere on the surface. And this one really will give us a little bit of peace and progress. So I'm going out tonight with our last night's sponsor and our artist of the week's wonderful, awesome single called I'll Be There by Miss Stephanie Jano. Those of you that were here and was blessed to hear her song on the Saturday Showcase, this will be for you. And those of you that didn't hear it, I hope that you can get this and hear this beautiful passion and talent in this woman's sound. It's just amazing. So here's Miss Stephanie Jano with I'll Be There after a word from our sponsors. We will open up the first 15 minutes of the panel to give a little bit of homage to those in the NBA that made this decision, and we will get into our topic tonight, which will be talking about us when we over-parented our children past the age of parenting them. And I don't mean always not giving them advice. I'm talking about meddling into our grown children's affairs? What are the effects of that? What are we actually teaching them? What, how does it affect the people in their lives? And what are we doing to continue on a really bad pattern? When is it enough? When do we say that we are going past our lines of the love of a parent? So when we get back, like I said, 15 minutes to those of you who feel like calling in, I'm opening up the panel to hear your thoughts on the matter, and then we will get into our discussion for tonight. Ms. Stephanie J. Note, if you're out there listening, thank you for this beautiful, lovely contribution to our music playlist. Here is Stephanie J. Note, and I'll be there. Be back after a word from our sponsors. Keep it locked with Katie.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, this is the part of the show that I'm going to dedicate to all of you out there that were really, really and truly outraged by the situation. How do you feel about the decision of the NBA to do all that they did in every... almost every aspect of the word. This is pretty much the full package that we've received. So that's what I'm going to hear from you. Because it's 15 minutes taken out, I really need all of you to kind of be short with your comments about it as much as you can. So actually, I have someone in, so let me bring them in. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett, and God bless you and your family.
Hi, and welcome, Deacon. Welcome back.
All right, and blessings to the people that will be joining us on the panel this evening.
Okay, thank you for that, and I'm sure they're going to thank you when they ever get here. So let me just ask you this, because tonight's topic is not about this. That was yesterday. But what's your feeling on the decision of the NBA to do what they've done with Donald Sterling?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm in full agreement on the penalty that was passed down to Mr. Sterling. And I say Mr. with very low regard. There's a few things that I would like to hit on. First of all, I'm happy with the decision that was passed down by the commissioner. But I would like to say this to the NBA. NBA, your hands are not clean. Because it's not like you did not know what this man's thoughts were, or it's like the first time he's been in a situation that has to deal with race. You've been well aware of it for a long time. Now it's been brought into the open, and you're acting like it's like a shock to you when you've been knowing about it for years. The commissioner himself has known this man for over 20 years, and you have no idea about what this man's thoughts or his feelings were against another race? Come on. Come on, people. Come on, people. It's time to wake up. And also, I would like to comment on the NAACP. The NAACP is an embarrassment to black people. They have sold us down the road years ago. And it is an insult to know that they have given this man two awards, if I'm correct, and not knowing what this man is about. Come on. He's been caught up in lawsuits and known as a slumlord, and his thoughts against blacks, Hispanics, or any other race that's not white, he has been negative towards. And now for people to just act like they're in an uproar about it, no, don't act like you're in an uproar about it now, but it's best that it's out and open, because now it's letting you know that this man is not the only one in the NBA that has thoughts like that. Let's not get it twisted. Now it's going to be kept closed behind closed doors a little bit tighter now, and they're going to be careful on who they speak around and what have you. The NBA is a form of modern-day slavery, if you look at it to some point. And it's a real insult. But like I've always said, it's time for our people to come together. We shouldn't have to look to anybody to correct anything. We have to correct ourselves. That's where the corrections need to be taking place with. And that's with ourselves and with our own people. We have to do. We have a lot of work to do for ourselves. We can't expect somebody else to come in with us and give us a quick fix, because it's not going to work.
I completely agree with absolutely everything you said. In addition, I read a little further, and I heard from you as well, and I believe pretty much it should have not just extended to him. I believe that his family members, his wife
right.
in particular, should also be banned.
Right.
I believe that. But I will say what I said last night and what I'm saying today is we allowed it to go on this long. The NAACP,
right.
I'm thoroughly disgusted with. I'm completely, I don't buy it. I mean, I know that they have to, but I'm not moved at all by their decision to rescind, because their first nomination that an award given to this pig was given after he was exposed for being a slumlord, for the racist remarks that he made about his tenants, and for the conditions that he purposely and neglectfully allowed them to live in. And they gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award, and as I stated yesterday, which you missed, we missed you on the panel, but as I stated yesterday, they gave him a Lifetime Achievement. What was an achievement for a lifetime? To be sure, we didn't have one.
Yeah.
That is the thing. So this National Association for Colored People is doing what? It's telling
yeah.
all of the people that they're supposed to be standing up for us against that we salute you. Why? Because this is what they said. He's given before to many of things that directly benefited black people. He didn't do it from his heart. He did it for a tax write-off. He did it to put out a full page ad on himself to let the world know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He did it so he could have publicity resume buffers. And with all that being said, now they want to return his money. Now they're saying they're going to return his money and nominate him because this is disgusting. He didn't do it from his heart. You're just figuring this out. Duh. Nothing about this man reeks sincerity, reeks feelings of humanity. So none of his philanthropy that was given to blacks or black-oriented programs were given with any good intent. Now, it's a devil's advocate type thing, I guess. You know, you can use your enemy to get your work done, all well and good. But this is the type of enemy that will sell you out in a second, that does things like this to keep you under his control. So that
right.
when he says something, he's going to look at you and go, yeah, I called you nigga, but now what? Say something and I'll rescind my money.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the question yesterday, when do we tell ourselves that sometimes the money just isn't worth it?
Yeah. All money is not good money.
You know, even if we can turn around and do something good with it, sometimes it's just not worth it. Well, I will say that I agree with you. I will say that if the NBA had gone any other way with it, there would have been a real uproar in other ways.
Oh, yeah.
I learned things.
There's
so
no
I
doubt
think
about
everything that was, all the pressure that was being put up on this, I don't think that they could have gone any other way. I am surprised that they kind of did go with the full package deal, including coercing him. I see you, panelists. I'll bring you in just a sec. I do believe that coercing him or making it a part of the package that he had to sell his shares was kind of shocking to me, a little pleasant surprise. But the whole thing is, I didn't like the way that they afforded him the delay in investigating whether or not this woman, who, by the way, she doesn't appear to be that savvy, to have altered a tape. Now, I think she was smart enough to record the man and leak the tape. But as far as altering his voice to do so, she doesn't strike me as that elaborate. I'm going to bring in our other panelists so we can give them a part of this 15-minute window. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? This is Carlos Olivia Jones with Stalo Jenkins.
Hello,
hey, Stalo. All right.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
All right.
I need you to speak up for me. I've been listening into the archive, so it's not that the mic itself is a mess. It's just that on my end, for some reason, there's a little bit of static interference. So, and I want to thank you for yesterday's input and yesterday's troll patrol duties. You were indeed very efficient, and I appreciate that. Your views were awesome last night.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So,
and thank you for the show last night. I mean, you know, look, this, okay. As for what we're talking about right now with the NBA, you know, I'm going to just say this really briefly. You know, they've covered themselves quite well in the event of a class action lawsuit for, like, you know, racial discrimination and hostile work environment and equal employment opportunity, all that type of stuff, the federal stuff that supersedes everything. They've covered themselves in the sense that in these cases, both the person and who they work for are liable. So they won't necessarily get a sweeping defeat, the NBA, because they did take, you know, based on their actions to punish this man, they have softened any blow that they might receive, which is, you know, just a softening to the event that they can negotiate somewhat. You know, it's not a sweeping defeat against them. But I do want to point out that he admitted on the tape that illegal racial discrimination and corporate oppression actually takes place within the National Basketball Association. You know, I say let's do them like the white people do, Michael Vick. Keep dragging, because this is what he's showing in actuality, he's not just one person, but he needs to feel the entire force and effect that everybody he represents, which is a great number of people in the higher NBA or whoever, you know, is in any higher corporation, let whoever it is, you know, at this point, you know, that was a, you know, blatant admission. It was a confession. We have a confession on tape that he, using the power that was bestowed upon him by his employer, okay? Power bestowed upon him by an equal opportunity employer who should not racially discriminate, has been racially discriminating illegally. And he has been oppressing people, and federal law, constitutional law, is against him in this matter, 100%. This is just the situation, you know, as I see it.
Any big smart business corporation would always try to take care of it in-house first. So I believe they were trying to, if for no other reason, publicly show good faith or an act of good faith to us. Now, last night, I believe there were some conflicting views on whether or not fans boycotting the games would have made a difference, whether or not the players themselves would have made a difference. You know, had they taken a stand. And as I brought up last night, the hockey league, the NHL did it. The New York Rangers alone did it. It wasn't the entire league. It was just the New York Rangers that did it. And without the New York Rangers being in the circulation of the entire playoffs, it would have thrown everything off. So it didn't take the entire league to make a collective stand. It took one branch of the league to do it, which the L.A. Clippers could have done, since their pig owner was the center of the controversy. Like we all have said last night here on the Facebook media, on Instagram, on Twitter, it's no secret that he's not the only one. He's just the only dumbass that did it out there so blatantly. But like I said, you expect a dog to do doggy things.
Mm-hmm.
But who
and
should
don't...
you be mad at? Go ahead, Arcelo.
Now, I once heard, is it true that people that are like, you know, of that man's persuasion and are very racist, that they actually glorify when they get, you know, public about it, when they have a public racial situation? Don't they glorify it amongst their friends? I wonder how this dynamic is really working behind the scenes.
I don't know. First of all, it begs the question of character of somebody that if this was just a publicity stunt, that would be what they choose to do it with. You know, that Hollywood definitely has sent that twisted, dwarfed message that the way you get the greatest attention and the most success is to, you know, present yourself or project an image of being a total jackass.
Yeah, well, you can basically get the answer from that because the man has showed no remorse. He has offered no type of an apology, and he was spoken to by the commissioner. Even the commissioner said that he offered no apology. He showed no remorse. So he really, really doesn't give a darn. And now there's a rumor around talking about that they don't realize that the fight that they're in for, that he's not going to sell the team. He's not going to have any choice. Because once the other corporate members, the other owners, vote him out, he has no choice.
That was one point that our other guest brought up last night, which is they are the power force. They're the ultimate word. But to that effect, that's what remains in the protocol of behind corporate doors. The biggest people are the ones that they do all this for, and that's us. And as I said last night, because I do have to bring this little bonus portion to a close, but as I said yesterday, that one of the things is that they can't force us, or we can't, I should say, force them to close down or step down as civilians or fans, but they in turn cannot force us on where to spend our money or what to watch.
Right.
And if we tap into making that the power or our focus of power and use that, okay?
Right.
I could tell you right now that we would probably be able to taste the sweet success of that, however small a victory it would be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I do need to bring this to a close, and I do want to thank Patrick Irvine.
Can I say this one last thing, though, Katie?
Yes, sir.
I would like to let the people know, don't think this is just going on in the NBA. Whatever jobs that you are working right now, this thing is going on your job. Don't think it's just in the NBA. It doesn't exist just in the NBA. Let's stop walking around with our eyes wide shut now. This is not just the NBA, people. Wake up.
Indeed it isn't. Indeed it isn't just going on the job. Indeed it isn't. I mean, in the sports leagues. It's just that they have the status to be all over your front page news. But it's going on. Every single time you're... potential employers are back there deciphering which one of the black applications they're going to pull out to meet their equal opportunity employment quota. Every time you got to be that token person, barring those of you who truly are looking for just qualified candidates, barring those of you that are in the position to make or break a decision that truly are just looking for the benefit of your company and can see it in an applicant that's not a Caucasian, this doesn't apply to you. However, few of you there may be left on this earth. But I will say that. Let's move into our main focus for tonight. And tonight is this. This is coming straight from the OTE's Parenting Chronicles, and we are going to be discussing cutting the umbilical cord connection to your adult children. And unfortunately, ladies, we're more guilty of this than men are, okay? It goes without saying that we have a different kind of connection to our children because of the fact that we are the ones that carry them. We felt their life before their actual independent life. We are the first ones, and we are known, quote-unquote, to be the weaker, fairer, softer sex. So we tend to nurture and nourish our children differently from the way our male counterparts will. However, let me make sure that all of you people who are going, well, what did she just say? Okay, I am not taking away from the fact that, A, men love their children just as hard, and B, you men aren't guilty of doing this too. You men just do it differently. So let's get started. We're never, ever going to stop being parents. No matter how old our children are, in our eyes, they'll always be our babies. The thing with that, though, is that it's a beautiful, poetic, proverbial symbolism of what a true connection as a parent is, the sacred, untouchable bond of a parent to their child. The problem is, when you take that literally, when they're 40 years old, we have issues. We have issues. From 18 to 25, I'm still going to say that's still quote-unquote the stupid phase. All right? At 18, they're so happy that their law says they're legal, that that's when they're going to try to do all the things they couldn't do when they were legally obligated to be grounded, because they're not thinking about the fact that while they traded in their grounding rules, they are fully responsible for what they do if they should get in trouble with the law. Okay, so they're pretty dumb 18 still, too. Still wet behind the ears, need guidance. 19, a little better than 18, but even up to 25, if they're still in school, the law still sort of tags them as your dependent as parents. So for that, I say we have the right to still act like we could still send them to their room. But we do have to understand that now we are child-rearing from a different perspective. Now we're talking to young adults, okay? Now let's go to 26 to 30. No way in hell should you be sitting up there coddling a 26 to 30-year-old. No way. Problem that I see a lot of mothers do is they tend to still act as if their children are in strollers but can walk. They tend to get into the point of, if they don't like a girl that their friend is dating, they tend to zoom in on the girl. They tend to get involved. And this is not to those of you that are listening, they go, that's not me. You know my saying, and if you don't, new listeners, if the shoes that I'm putting before you don't fit, don't slip your feet into them, because this does not apply to you. We are speaking about you mothers. You go not for any type of classism, racism, or to that effect, but there are certain cultures that do this a little more often than other cultures. There are certain sexes, which is either the men or the women, but mainly women do it. We tend to be a lot more encompassing and bailing out of our children. We tend to do that. We tend to try to give them a little under-the-table buffer that their father strictly said, nope, they got to learn how to do this. We tend to think that sometimes the men's way is just too rough and they don't see it. Sometimes, though, that's what they need to see. So let me start with the most extreme scenarios about how we women mess up our grown kids. And I'm going to start with the mother and grown son situation. There's a reason why the meddling in-law horror story myths have been passed down from generation to generation. In-laws that meddle in their grown kids' marriages are an atrocity, because there's certain type of meddling that's beneficial and necessary. If you know that your son is on a path that was not good for his father, that's not good for men, that's not good for society, that it just isn't a moral thing to do, such as beating your wife, and you watch this happen, and when she calls the cops, you're against her, that he can crash on your couch because he's trying to dodge child support, because he walked out on his children, and you are so welcoming him in to your house and allowing him to lay on your couch, that you are funding a grown man's womanizing, clubbing, jewelry buying, spiffy sportswear, or whatever it is, at 40 and 30-something years old, there's an issue. Now, on the other hand of that, there is a difference between your son or daughter is just down on their luck, and they need to return home to get back on their feet. They messed up their life or something in their life went wrong. They lost their job, they lost their home, something. On the other hand, I'm not saying that if you know your son or daughter is married to a trifling person, that is being as rude and nasty as they can possibly be, no matter how good your child is trying to be. That we don't have the radar and the mother hen situation. That's not what I'm speaking of, because we're always going to be parents. And we will stand up there and say something. I'm going to give you a situation. There's an elderly lady that I know, has three grown sons. Her younger son was 37 years old, 37, which made her oldest child 43. Her middle child, not so bright in the head, pretty much he does the most outrageous of childish things at 42, and got involved with a woman that from day one, the woman was just not a good person, was pretty much outright blatantly using him for the gifts and the financial things that he was scraping up to give her, because I guess in his mind, the more he provided for her, the more she'd love him. Okay, well, one day they got into an argument, and this man called his mother, and his mother left her house suffering a medical illness, being considered sort of handicapped and elderly. All right? Jumps in a cab, grabs a knife because she used to be a whatever G gangster type person she used to be in her heyday, to go interfere with a domestic dispute between her son, 42, and his girlfriend. And what did this woman get for her troubles? The girlfriend called the cops on both of them, and as they were being led into the police car in handcuffs, he turns around before the police was ducking his head to tell the woman that just got them arrested, I know what you just did here, but I'll always love you. Well, his mother, at 60-something, got fingerprinted and put in central booking and arraigned. Great. That's the troubles that you get. Understand something, women. We love our sons. We love our daughters. But our men have to grow up and be men. You cannot sit there and be mad with a woman that he's been with. That's his choice. If it's going to be a bad one, it's going to be a bad one. You can talk about it later. You can be there for him. Our job when they get older is to make sure that we can trust that everything we did to teach them and prepare them for the world took. And they're still going to make stupid choices, and we have to have the strength to get past our pain and be there for them. Now, being there for them does not mean we bail them out when they made choices that they know were wrong, when everything they've gotten away with caught up with them and they don't know how to deal with it. It means that we give them tough love and love, meaning that if they went to jail for abusing their wife, if your daughter went to jail because she was deliberately going out trying to be a party girl, rob somebody, beat somebody up, was stalking her ex, that's, I understand, it's hard to look at your little girl, even as a big woman, and not feel whatever, but you can't go charging and letting her think that no matter what she does, you're just going to yell at her and still bail her out. Because there comes a point in time where they have to make a decision, and as hard as it's going to be for us, there's going to be a point in time where the law is going to say you don't have a right to say a damn thing. But we women are more guilty of this. Interesting feedback I got today from the pre-broadcast discussion. And absolutely, one person said something so great where she said she hopes when her babies get old enough, she'll know how to mind her business. Another one said that she's not going to be jumping in her grown son's relationships, but she will try to be there to guide them through a bad part of things. And she hopes that she'll be able to say the right things. We do have to step in as parents all the time if we feel our kids are going down a head-on collision path. That's the extent of what we do. You're wrong. I'm not supporting that. I don't think that that's the right thing to do. You're going to make your own decision, but I'm telling you, this is the way that it will lead. Because that's what you have to do. That is your job to do. You can't sit there and let them crash and burn. And if they know they're doing wrong and they continue to do it, you let them know you don't condone it, but that you will be there for them. You're just not going to take your money out to support a drug habit. You're not going to take your hard-earned retirement money to fund a grown 40-something-year-old man who could have been right there and decided to walk off his job or be drunk all the time. That's a lesson he has to learn. So, Stalo, you are on the panel with me. What's your feelings? When do you think that parents go too far, and when does it become meddling?
I think, I think parents go too far when they get relationships, the definition of relationships, like as people, just as people, I'm just not going to say parents, but people as in general, we get relationships between each other confused a lot of times. You see what I'm saying? Likely in parenting, people get relationships confused a lot of times. You know, your child is not your significant other, but you owe your child certain duties and responsibilities, and your child owes you the same. You know, the child has to leave the nest, because eventually the whole ideal of it all is that they return to the nest to take care of you when you get old. Even if that's a myth, even if that doesn't happen, that is the mode that y'all supposed to be on. Instead, we got people on modes like, acting like your son is your husband and this and that, and people meddling. So when you start meddling, that's when you start, like, competing with the girlfriend instead of looking at the ideal in mind. That's why, discretion, you got to see, but you have to empower the parents with discretion. The parents are supposed to be involved in your life always, I believe that even though there hasn't even necessarily been a lot of our reality. However, it's a necessary part of life. But at the same time, you got to remember who your child is, what your child is. Your child is not your husband. You don't talk to your, it's just a lot of relationship confusion. We just get, because you can treat anybody any type of way, but we're not supposed to, Treat your child like your child. Treat your significant other like your significant other. Treat your person you're not committed to like the person you're not committed to. Treat the person you are committed to like they are the person. And people get a lot of the relationship stuff confused just in general. If you're teaching that person, teach that person. And all that type of stuff. It's a whole bunch of confusion. But with terms of children, we cannot get confused. There's no confusion whatsoever.
Go ahead.
Parents first,
You mentioned something very important that I want to come back to. Deacon, I'm going to pose this question to you. When does parenting step over the line with your children? When does it become meddling and not parenting?
Well, in my opinion, if it all depends on when you're dealing with your child, if they're in adulthood. And if they're in a relationship, there's a line that you don't cross. If they're adults, they're dealing with a relationship. There's a point to where the parent has to step back. Even if they're not even married. That's just my opinion. Because I feel as though the parent has already done their job as far as raising that child. And for them to just like when you if you're an eagle and you've been raising these eaglets in your nest, it's time for them to get out of the nest. You got to let them go, And if it comes to a point to where they have to come back to the nest for maybe a helping hand or something like that, that's okay. But as long as it doesn't go beyond that. Until you get yourself back on your feet. But then after that, you got to go fly on your own. You can't just stay up under me, because I'm not having it. I've raised you to the best of my ability, And I'm pretty sure I poured into you the knowledge and understanding of what life is supposed to be. And you got to deal with it, just like I had to deal with it when I was coming up. And my parents had to push me out of the house. But see, in my situation, I had to leave my mother's house at the age of 15 because I was hard-headed and stubborn. And she told me, well, if you don't want to live with the rules and regulations here, you got to go. You know, so, and out of all five of her children, I'm the one that has never been back to the household looking for handouts and looking for a helping hand. I struggled on my own, but everybody isn't that fortunate enough. But like you said, it comes to a point to where sometimes the parents have to back off. They're always going to be your parents, sure enough, and that love is going to be there always. But it comes to a point to where you have to know when to back off and when to intervene.
That's absolutely true. And, Pharaoh, getting back to what you said about a lot of times parents treat their children like their significant others. And I've seen fathers do it. They're so protective of their daughters, and many a times it's been because of the way that they treated women or schemed to get girls when they were younger. A lot of times we tend to not be able to release our wild days.
Right.
Okay, so our girls, for some reason, get a tighter rein, and, well, society also puts women in a mode of they need more protection, and they're quicker to put a scarlet letter on a woman that was involved with something that a man was equally accountable for. So I could get that part, but when they get to the point where they get older, you understand, there comes a point in time where you have to really trust that you've
right.
taught them what you can.
Right.
Do we ever stop being parents? We don't. We could be 96
no.
in a wheelchair
yep.
with a missing leg, with arthritis, taking 90 pills a day. And we'll still find some way through all of our Alzheimer's and our mental dementia to remember one little thing and say something about it, because that's who we will be. That's what a parent does. However,
right.
the biggest thing I have ever seen is just what you mentioned, how a lot of these women treat their sons like their boyfriends.
That's crazy.
How a lot
yeah.
of men, there's a lot of men that act
mm-hmm.
the same with their grown daughters. They
mm-hmm.
A lot of them can't take thinking about their little girls having grown up and developed and did whatever, and even well into their 30s, it's hard for them, unless of course they're
mm-hmm.
married or they're involved or whatever. Even then, when a girl is grown and she introduces her boyfriend to her father, you know,
yeah.
a lot of times men are uncomfortable with accepting that fact. So there's a little way about that. But then again, a
yeah.
lot of times men just pretty much want to let the other guy know that that's my princess, and, you know, no matter what, how bad you think you are, I'm bigger and badder. So there's
yeah.
a little different way that men do it. But women will cling to their boys like their boys belong to them that way.
Right.
Okay? If your son has had a relationship and has a child, and him and his child's mother or wife or girlfriend, fiance, whatever, are in the middle of a dispute, and that girl is feeling that her child's father is not stepping up to the plate as he should, and she is speaking to him and she's arguing about it, you, mom, were not in the bedroom when you heard what your son, to hear what your son said to her, to hear if there were any promises made that if they were to have a baby, it would never go down the way it now is. You don't have the right, as angry as you might be about things that might come out her mouth to your son, to sit there and make her the culprit. You are supposed to be sitting there and realizing that if this is a complaint coming up from the mother of his child, that obviously he stepped away from what you should have been teaching him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If she has been hit, if he has cheated on her, you don't have the right to sit there and blame her. You have you do have the obligation to tell your son that that is wrong. It is disrespectful. I didn't raise you that way. I'm a mother.
Right.
I'm a woman. Imagine if your father had done that to me. Or you have seen your father do this to me. How could you feel confident enough to go do it to someone else? That's your role as a parent of your grown child. Now, if he should have happened to lose his job and that woman left him and he's down and out or she took everything or whatever the case is, he should always be able to have a place with his mom, but it should be while he is looking to get back on his feet. The time, the bonus, the reprieve, the little bit of a easier blow should be, okay, I'll give you a meal and I'll give you a place to sleep. I can even give you an address for you to use to apply for certain things, but you need to be hitting the pavement.
That sounds like my mother. You got a deadline. So by the time I think you should be at that deadline, there's going to be a problem if you don't have it together by then.
I have seen Latin cultures do that quite often. I've seen Caribbean cultures do that very often. For example, there's a situation going on with someone I know right now. Father of her babies have done something that he's put him into a point where, since he was not a native of America, he was deported permanently. So she was forced into a single parenthood position. They were broken up, but as far as the single parenthood aspect, he's not allowed to be in New York, but he was, for the most part, in the beginning, doing his part from where he was. However, that stopped happening. But the whole time they were together, he had, wait for it, a mother. That no matter what she saw her son doing wrong, she was his advocate, his spokesperson, his connection. If you didn't call your sons, you don't have the right to pop up and tell your mother to call your baby's mother for you. And you, mother, have absolutely no right to be taking on that job. That is not your place. It is not your place to ask a reason why the argument's happening. Unless there's pain going on, you have a fair sense of whatever, you want to be the middle ground support for both of them. Where you're not going to say, I agree or disagree with him, or he's wrong, or you should leave him, or anything to that effect. That's not your call to make. It is also not your place to confront his girlfriend. Not your place. It's not your right, and you have the damn nerve to do it. You should not be buying your son's clothes, giving him allowance at 45, knowing he hasn't taken care of any of the kids that he has breeded and feeded. Knowing that he is making a conscious decision to have irresponsible sex and make these babies, knowing he's got a baby's mama that he's dealing with, or he has a wife at home and a family, and you're sitting up there allowing him to use your house as the hookup spot. You're giving him money because he's a broke ass doing it. And he can yell a few guilt words at you. What, you're going to leave your own son out here? It happens. But you put yourself in that position to do it. There's another extreme example that I have seen from a mother that was actually, her son had a second wife after the first one. The first one, he was a rotten brat, forced her to sign papers to allow him to get married because he threatened to leave her and take his affection with him if she didn't. He got married at 17, beat his wife because they lived in her house in front of her. He was in one of those people with an enraged way of being, so when he was in the mode of hitting, he didn't care or think about how it was coming down. She witnessed this, never would call the cops. Mind you, was in her house. This was happening. He was pushing his own mother away, telling her to mind her effing business. And she got up with this woman every day to take the same train in the same direction to different jobs. One day, that wife got up, acted like everything was cool. They were going through their little, you know, let's take a walk to the train station and drive our way together. And she never came back. What happened was her son began crying when he realized that the mantle toy he had been beaten up on was not coming back to take it anymore. Cried, begged, did everything she could. He did everything he could to now give in to the fact that his toy is gone. And when she took a look at the despair that he was reveling in of his own self-induced garbage, she picked up the phone and called his wife and asked the wife, how could she do this to her son? just a little extreme, you think? What message are you sending? The second wife he beat on, he cheated on, he tried to pimp out. He left her and the kids stranded. He took everything that they had. He cheated. And when that wife had enough, and that wife went to court, and he started drinking and abusing and not dealing with the children properly, and that wife had enough, she went after that one too. She even went after her grandkids, saying her grandkids lied on him. And her words were, "You lied on my baby." And he was 43.
There's something wrong with that picture.
Yes, sir, it's hard. And can I point out something? You know, that's where, you know, my advice would be for parents to let go and to let go of your child. Let go and be secure, because I think you're pointing out something very, very, very important, that the clinginess that some parents have to their child, especially of the opposite sex, is due to an insecurity that you may not have prepared them to deal with the opposite sex the right way. Now, naturally, as a man, we can't easily explain romance to a girl, but imagine if you're not there like you should be. That's even crazier with regard to, you know, then dealing with your child's romantic person and what have you. And women, imagine if you weren't a good example of a woman to your son, and you know that. These insecurities, see, cause you to be clingy, or may cause some people to be clingy, you know. But all of us, let go of all of that and be secure. Let your child go. And if you have stuff to address it today or tomorrow morning, and continue to move on and just do it, because this is something you do. This is an active thing. Everybody listening, you know, encourage people to just do it, you know. And when you see people like, you know, not even if you see it, people when you see your sales doing it, when you see your sales, you know, and what have you, and you see others doing it, everything, just recognize that, like Katie said, women, your son is not your husband at all.
Okay? Absolutely. You a lot of that, parents, when they get older and don't have partners in their life, tend to cling on to the son that tends to be coming back and act like he's going to take over everything now. Like in the example I just gave, that particular son now handles her finances, which he helps himself to his weekly budget too. She's not very educated. He can say a couple of extra syllable words she can never understand, and she's impressed. But meanwhile, he will curse her out in a minute. He's busy allowing her to bring the children over and talk crap about the mom, and she'll not say a word. He has said things to one of the children in front of her, which all she said was, "That's not nice. That's not good." But after being grown to the point where this was never a problem before, what message is he going to get from that? What level of respect does he have from her? Every time that he got pissed off with her and he found a woman he could hold up with, she was out the door, called the B word and all night. Guess what?
Right.
He's still there. She's still buying clothes.
And don't get confused on what, see, at some point as a parent, stuff becomes, okay, nurturing doesn't always equal coddling. So at some point when your child is blatantly wrong and you're not correcting, you know, to you, they're always a child to you.
Yeah.
To everybody else, no.
But that goes so far. You have to leave that in a philosophical sense, in the poetic justice sense, okay, right. In the beautiful, that sounds great way of being. It's not about you literally taking that to the next level. And there's a panelist coming in. Allow me to bring them in so we can continue the discussion. Hold on. Welcome to the show, Callie, on the air.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Darlene, how are you?
I'm okay. Hello, panel.
Hi, you'll be up in just a moment. I want Salo to continue his point, okay?
Okay.
As I was saying, Salo, that's the part when you start taking it literally. It's like the Bible saying, be fruitful and multiply. And you got these players out there being Father Abraham of 2014.
Right.
You know, and picking and choosing to wet his whistle and the baby should come and I'll take him all, knowing he's broke as a skunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these are the things, like you just said, when you see your child doing something blatantly wrong, that's where you should be a parent. Now, you're not going to be able to send him to his room and, you know, punish him or take away his PlayStation. But you can definitely let him know that even in my older age, I don't condone that, and I will not be a forum of support for that. Mm-hmm. You don't have the right to be his defense attorney, his bodyguard, in the middle of a relationship dispute with someone that he probably sweet-talked out with, really loves.
And that's true nurturing versus enabling. When you start enabling people,
that is the perfect word.
When you start enabling people to harm themselves in a spiritual way, you know, because all he did was degrade himself over and over again. Pieces, you know, I mean, but, you know, in terms of how he treated his mom, in my opinion. So, you know, he was destroying himself. She was allowing him to destroy himself as well. You enabled a person. Psychologically, you enabled a person to destroy themselves. You know,
Yeah, I'm sorry. There is no way, and darling, you will have the floor next when I ask you the question. There is no way that at 45 you should be a mother who's 65 or 69 or whatever it is, allowing your son to use your place as his hookup spot, as a free ATM, as a bleeding heart sob story con artist factory.
But she probably
While you're still working, that you should be including your grown son in your budget every week. You're supposed to be enjoying your life and spoiling your grandkids. There's no way that you should be funding his jewelry habit, his drug and drinking habit, his need to be an adult and go clubbing habit, while down the block or around the corner, your grandkids have not seen a penny from him for diapers, for supplies, for school dues, and then when those things do come up, he lives as a good father through you because he goes to you and you give it to him. Then he gets to play in control and give his kids something as if he's the one who went out and did it. Darlene, when does parenting become meddling with your grown adult children?
When does it become what?
Meddling. Enabling.
Oh, meddling. Okay. To me, when it becomes meddling is, I would say that he's left your house. Because for me, it's my rules, my house, and you go about by them. I don't care if you're 70 years old. If you're in my house, you gonna abide by my rules. When it becomes meddling is when you're doing it from a distance, like you're all up in the business from a distance. The only thing I believe like we should be concerned about is if he does have children. Us as grandparents, we have a responsibility to make sure that they be taken care of properly. But anything after that, if he's grown and he's out the house, as long as he's not in your pocket constantly, you know, begging you for money, eating your food, coming over, you know, and thinking he got a key and he still lived there when he got another place, and that's something different. But as long as once he gets grown and he's out of your house, I think that you should allow him his space to grow. Because even though we are parents, no parent wants to see their child struggle. No parent wants to see their child go through hardship. That's a natural thing. However, there are times where we know we need to just back up and allow them to go through their own experiences. But at 45 years old, first of all, God bless me, he wouldn't be living in my house because I put my son out at 18. And the reason why I say that is because when you don't want to go to school, you don't want to go to work, you don't want to, you don't want to, you don't want to, you don't want to, then that means you don't want to live here. Okay, so straight like that, and I lied to you not, right? I struggled with my son because I'm a single parent. I struggled with my son. I went through the court. I went through this. I went through that. I wasn't getting no help. I tried to put him in the PAL, the Police Academy League. I had to put him. I tried to put him in the Explorers. He didn't want to do that. He don't want to go to the Navy. He don't want to go to the Army. He don't want to go to school. He don't want to go to work. He don't want to go. He don't want to go. He don't want to go. You know. So you know what I did? His 18th birthday, early in the morning, I woke him up, said, "Happy birthday, son. You are 18 years old. Now get the hell out of my house." That's what my son got for his 18th birthday, on a serious note. He said, "What?" I said, "You're 18, you legal. Now get the hell out of my house." And my son's been out of my house since then. You know, and he was angry. Nope. And I was scared. I cried every night. Don't get me wrong. Because God knows I don't want to lose my only son to the street. But when you could stand up in my face and tell me what you don't want, what you're not going to do, and what you think you're not going to do, it's time for you to leave. And it's just that simple.
Absolutely. Because when they were 17 and they were giving you hell, and the law now is saying, you can't do this, but you should have done this. You can't do that, but you should have done this. You can't do it, but a teacher do it. Don't do this, but do that. The law says you can go have sex when you're 15 and you don't got to tell your parents to get it. You're the birth control. But guess what? If that birth control should go sour in your body, we can't treat you till your parents say so.
And not only that, he didn't have no key to get in. You got here. You came in when I was here. Because you're not going to have no chicks up in my house. You're not going to be impregnating no girls up in my house. Ain't no mama going to be coming to my house. You're not bringing no drama to my house. Whatever you do in the street, you leave in the street. And that's how I protected myself from all of that drama. You know, thank God he's 25 now and he don't have any children. But I'm still in his life on a constant basis. I'm still trying to reach him from a distance. You understand? I never turn my back on him, but I had to give him that tough love, real simple. And he thanked me for it today, even though he made some bad decisions and he paid for it. He thanked me today. And for example, like today, I was on his Facebook page because I told him, listen, if you and your friends are going to be talking that nastiness and that disrespectful stuff, I don't want to be your friend. Oh, no, mommy, it's okay. You can be my friend. Okay. So I happened to be on his page. And this young lady said, hello, F, called him an F face. And so I responded. I said, that's a hell of a greeting from a friend. So then she going to say, she didn't know I was his mother. So she going to say, well, he don't have a choice. I could call him whatever I want to. I said, oh, really? So I said to her, young lady, I said, oh, yeah, I said, that's a hell of a greeting from a friend, son. You know how they use that word, son.
Amen.
And she said, yes, son don't have no choice. I call him whatever I want. So I said, no. I said, he is my real son, young lady. And, oh, I'm so sorry. And so I got on my son. I said, hey, I said, I didn't raise you like that. I raised you not to disrespect a woman, but I also raised you not to allow a woman to be disrespectful to you. I said, that's on Facebook. I said, that can cause you problems. I said, because if you allow her to call it to you, somebody else down the line is going to want to call that to you, too.
That's right.
I said, and plus, I'm your mother. I'm not just your friend on Facebook. I'm your mother. I do not want to see no woman disrespecting you, and you feel like that's okay. Oh, I gave him the rundown. So then he told me, okay, Ma, I understand. I said, because if she can call you a S-face, I can imagine what you're going to call her. You know what I'm saying? And that's not how we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to have a little bit more respect for each other today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So getting together at 25 years old, that's for somebody 16, 17, 18, 19. You're 25. When will you grow up from that?
So now that brings me to my next part of the question. I'll start with you, Deacon. What age group do you think that our actual, like, I still believe that even at 25, they may be a little bit above, you know, they're a little more in the, now you're kind of maturing stage, but I still think they still got stupid written across a lot of their decisions.
Almost.
Partially because they're supposed to, you know, this is when they make those real silly decisions, not kid-like, but now as a young adult, you've made your first bad decision. So, and to a point, if they were still at home or even away, if they were in college, technically you still couldn't, like you know, detach yourself from them. Because we always still say that you would have to support to a point. But 18 to 25, I still think there's some necessary, you know, back still in my house type advice to give, you know, guidance to give them. 26 and up, I think that you should start getting it by then. And 45, you have no reason.
Yeah,
you have
at 45,
no,
no excuse for that. Come on now. At 45,
I mean, we adults, we still have some child tendencies. You know, we even as adults, we still have some baby in us somewhere, some way. So there's just certain things we will never grow out of. If there was a particular thing we liked as a child and we held on to it as an adult, it's nothing wrong with that. Because then that means you got a little bit of fun in you. You understand? Life is serious enough. We have to be serious on a daily basis. When do we have fun? You know, if you don't have no fun and you no laughter, no joy, like you're a deadbeat.
Right. I don't mean that part because you rolled with me, so you know.
You already know.
You know,
have some fun.
You do. You're supposed to. I'm talking about when is it the point where they can't come to your house anymore and cry that I don't have a job and I can't do it or I can't work or nobody. I've seen 40-something-year-olds play big-time games on their mama. Who can hire me, Mom? I'm 40-something. I'm too far gone.
Come on. You know what? Come on. That's weak. That's weak. At 45 and you crying to your mama or your daddy, at 45 years old, talking about who's going to hire me, hey, that's your fault. I gave you the tools to get out there to deal with the world, and at 45, you're not able to deal with it on your own? There's something wrong with that picture. I will give you advice, and that's it.
I have seen them give suggestions, like the father knows the person who has a job opening. Well, I'm never going to do all that. What am I going to be able to do with that at my age? I've seen that happen, and I've seen mothers fall for it. Now, Darlene, I know you and Arlene would never, because I've seen you. There are plenty of mothers like you, too, so let me make sure.
Well, they better be glad they don't have my mama.
Or my father.
Okay, or mine.
That's where the difference is with men, though. That's where the difference is with men, because especially if you are 45 now, that means you come from the last generation father that worked for a living to the day he was supposed to retire and still would try to fix a car with a cigarette hanging out his mouth or a cigar or still smoking a pipe or whatever the case is and still would try to be in the society somehow, you know. So he's not going to stand for you saying there's no absolute way you can be a man and do what you got to do. He's not going to stand for you having a snob syndrome when you don't have a job syndrome.
Right.
So That's what we women, oh, honey, you really tried?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We tend to do that. Let me say to all you strong sisters out there that are probably like me, they're like, no, no, buddy, I'm not going for it. Listen, there are women out there who do it. I have seen Latino mothers that think their grown sons are okay to be under them, like their boyfriends talk to them, like their boyfriends try to stop them from dating while they're bringing every woman from every walk of town in there. I have seen them drinking in front of their mother with their mother. I have seen mother and son entities of drugs, street pharmaceuticals. I've seen it all happen. It's okay. It's no problem. And they'll be right there for every jail sin. They'll curse out a woman in a second.
That's not being a mother. That's not being a mother or a parent. That's being a complete idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some point where you have to draw the line. Now, I'm going to say this real quick. A mother's love never dies, supposedly,
absolutely,
quote, unquote. Mother's children forever. That never stops. And when they, if they 40, if they 90, if they 30, if they 50, and they yell, Ma, you're going to go to their aid. However, when you get there, like, you check out the scenario. Now, if he is somebody who's constantly getting in trouble, not going to work, don't want to go to school, don't want to do nothing, but he wants you to be by his side and be supportive, I'm not doing it. But if he's somebody who's struggling in the area, if he have a mental defect, or if he's socially disconnected, it all depends on what level the child is on. Because I can't sum it up in one, because there are so many other issues, emotional issues, mental issues, this issue, that issue. And if I see where my child needs some help, maybe I would lean and gear him towards seeking some outside help, because there's a problem there. I'm not going to let my child get 30 and 40 and I hear the same story that I heard at 20 and 25. You understand? Something's wrong with that picture. And maybe it's not just him. Maybe he has a defect somewhere. So I'm always going to be a mother to my son. I'm always going to be there to support him and help him, especially when he's doing positive things. But when he's doing things that I might not agree with, I'm going to first seek out and find out why he's doing these things to make sure there's nothing mentally or emotionally wrong with him. Once I find that out, he on his own. You got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. There comes a point in time where your child is at the age where you must stay on the fence, meaning that there are times when there's a point where you give advice all the time. That's usually when they're just about to leave the nest. Because we all know a teen is not grown. It's just legal. It's not grown. It's not mature by any means. Even those of you that are well-grounded for your age, you got good goals, you're on the path to achieving those goals, you're still not grown. You're just legal.
That's it.
You're still going to seek out mommy to a point or daddy to a point for certain things. However, at that point, I believe they're still in the running for getting advice often. From 25 and up, I believe you start to give intermittent advice and then you back off. By the time they're 30, you start to get to the point where you say, you should know better than this. And I'm disappointed. But that's where it ends. Before you could say, I'm disappointed and you're going to be grounded. I'm disappointed and you're definitely not doing that. Or it will come with some sort of discipline. What I'm saying is, when you are looking at your son, have multiple relationships, either that he's a dedicated one-woman man and can't seem to keep his one woman for whatever reason, and he's having children, and he's coming to you, and he's claiming he's too broke to give his children food, but he's not too broke to be able to go clubbing and drink in a club.
Right.
And then he's coming to you, and you're going, okay, I'm going to help you this time, and then that help turns into a weekly request.
Wow.
We have issues. When you are standing there and your son and his girlfriend, significant other, or whatever, is having an argument and you have the damn audacity to get in her face to defend him, even if you heard that he hit her, you have a problem. I agree with you, Darlene. We never stop mothering. We stop mothering. Okay? Never. But like you said, you come and you assess the situation. You figure out whether you need to say something or not. You can tell your child, and this goes for our daughters as well, because as much as we're talking from the men, the only reason why I'm pushing this on mothers with their sons is because in the natural order of things, men are supposed to be the future leaders of the generation.
Right.
If they were sleeping well, they are supposed to be the people who lead the household. I'm not saying that we're supposed to be, you know, kimono wearing, bare feet and pregnant, bow your head against my thing for people. I'm saying he's supposed to be the person that leads the household.
Right, exactly.
He's supposed to be the one to teach his sons how to do the same. He's supposed to be the one to give that great family structure, to build a better generation, to be the leaders of society at one point, to be able to teach a man how to deal with a situation that may not be ideal, that something went off to the left. How do we get around that? Okay, if you are sitting there and telling him, I don't like what you did, why did you beat her up, but come on in here, I'm not going to let her say anything about you. Instead of saying, okay, well, you were selling drugs, and you beat this girl really bad, and the police are after you, you can't hide in my house. But I'll be there for you. I will support your, I will be there at your court hearing.
Okay.
And maybe not even that, depending on how often he decides to make a career out of that.
Katie, when you said that, that just took me back. I just got to tell you this, right? My mother is a hot mess, right? And when my brother, I had three brothers, and when my brother did something wrong and they had him in the court and my mother appeared, Your Honor, what is his offense? And the judge said, blah, 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 right? So she looked at him and said, well, generally, how much time would a child get for committing that crime? So he said, blah, 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 blah. My mother said, well, give it to him then.
Sounds like my mother.
It sounds like me, anyway. I think I would. Because if you don't give them that listen, if you don't let them know that if you continue to do stupid crap, that comes with what you know is going to be stupid consequences, and you continue to do it, I'm not your bailout.
Mm-mm.
Now, like you said about your son, you didn't want to throw him out in the street, your only kid,
mm-mm,
your child. But if they are believing that they can talk to the one person that is going to keep them and with their best interests in mind at all times, that's going to love them above and beyond anybody in the world besides the Lord himself, that because they feel deep down inside you never will really hurt them or disconnect from them or get rid of them or whatever the case is, that they can do this, and they don't understand that with 18 comes your own accountability, comes that there's going to be a point that mom can't defend you, even if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is time for him to meet that fate. To the point where now you're going to see what it's like to have to do it without the clutch. And that's what we tend not to do. We tend to keep that umbilical cord running for years on end. And I'm going to say it again. You guys are my regulars. Those of you that don't know me, if the shoes don't fit, don't be offended by putting your feet in them. Because it doesn't apply to you if you're not this person. But what this in turn does is sets out predators to the rest of the world, sets out a man who sees what he wants what he wants, going to get it, gets it, and figures he can treat it any way he feels like it, because if he should ever get into any mess over it, his mother will bail him out. How is she teaching him that it's wrong? Because she said it while she was handing him some money. because she said it while she went to court and walked against the victim? Because she said it while she believed his BS story that he can't find work nowhere, but yet he's trying to indulge in activities that require money. What are we teaching them? And if we have the audacity to be meddling parents with our grown 50-something, 40-something children, then we should have the right of mind to continue teaching in the process.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between your grown mother, your elderly mother admiring you and valuing your opinion in a decision. It's another thing in letting her let you be her decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing with letting her be your girlfriend without being able to sleep with her. Why are you wearing that? Don't wear that. Who are you going with? I need this. Where's the money go? Why did that happen? What are you doing? I'm not going to work. No, I can't work. This is what you're going to do to me? You're just as bad as X, Y, and Z. They go right back to the very thing you felt sorry for them for. They'll come out from a party on Friday night. Oh, no, let's say Sunday. They'll find something to do on Sunday. Stay out to all hours of the night, knowing they're supposed to be up the next morning, because that was the agreement when you let them back in. Okay, you're going to get a job because I'm done with all of you. Y'all done left and left. I'm looking forward to having my house to myself. I've raised you. I've done my job. That's what I'm out saying. And then he comes back from hanging with his buddies, drinking too much, smoking, doing whatever, falls asleep on Sunday night. It is now 1 o'clock Monday afternoon, and you're going, why didn't you wake up to go do whatever? Oh, I'll do it tomorrow, Mom. Take away. It's going to be there. Don't worry about it. I didn't miss nothing. Then he comes back and says, I didn't get the job. Gee, you think? We have to cut him there.
And there's been times where I sit with my son. Sometimes you ask them if the responsibility is there, but sometimes they need a little push, that motivation. And sometimes I sit with my son and go through the computer with him and look and seek for jobs or further his education or, you know, things of that nature. But you know one thing, there are a lot of single mothers that are guilty of, and it hurts me to know, you know, like they uphold their sons in that chaos. When a son gets married, whether his wife and him are together or not together, it shouldn't even matter. It's the fact that you're his mother, and if you're teaching him any morals, you will never, ever support him in that. Once you get married, you will never, ever, ever be able to bring one of your flings to my house.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my 40s, and at one point I was smoking, and I'm grown enough to do it, but out of respect for my father and my mother, I wouldn't dare smoke in front of them. They could smell it. He could see it. But you know what? I went through that once with my father where, you know, I had smoked a cigarette before he got there. He has the smell of a wolf. I don't know. He could smell burgers from Brooklyn cooking in Texas. Okay? And when you smoking, yes. Why? Because I'm grown and I can. That's pretty much what I said. Because he has this level of arrogance that you got to kind of, you know, bring it down. However, I would never do it in front of him. I got to a point where I was arguing with my ex on the phone in front of him. Well, not in front of him, but he heard the yelling. And I had cursed at my ex because it came out. And I swear I cringed knowing my dad was in the next room. So that's the level of respect and understanding and boundaries that should always be there. But on the other hand, you as a parent need to understand, if you're a mother and you like your kitchen orange with blue flowers and stripes, and your daughter-in-law or your son's girlfriend that he's living with doesn't, you don't have the right to pop up and say, you're not treating my son well because I would cook him eggs in the morning and all you do is microwave something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the right to say that.
No.
You don't have the right to tell her something different.
That's the mind your business talk.
Thank you. Thank you. Because that's what I probably would have told her in a very nice and intelligent way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I appreciate your advice, but the last I checked, this is my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And your son seems to be pretty okay with it. Because if she's not being able to stand up and cook grits and make farina from scratch and make the flour dough for pancakes from scratch, but she's out there bringing in bacon with him, you might want to give her a break on that one.
Okay.
If she just had a baby and she still manages to wake up in the morning and microwave something for her man while nursing a baby, you might want to give her a break on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to tell your son that he should have been up making the breakfast while she nurses the baby. Because I'm sick and tired of hearing mothers go, when we were growing up, we took care of all this stuff. That was then. I had plenty of in-law experiences where in the age of disposable diapers and canned formula, I was getting a very resistant, I know more than you type person to feeding my baby carnation milk and giving her cloth diapers that you have to leave out for the laundry people to come get. In South Jamaica, Queens, I think not.
Hmm.
And if you choose to continue to use those things, great. But if I should come home and see that my child has a diaper rash, we have a problem. And then you have the sons who don't know anything, but they value their moms. So as much as they love you, mom still gets the ultimate props, and the ultimate say in your new relationship. That's not the way it's supposed to go. And you should never, as a parent, feel comfortable being that way. I've been told at the end of the day, I'm always going to be his first girlfriend. No way. No way is my son going to come and tell me that he can't do something for a child that he created, whether he can deal with baby mama or not. And be in my house doing it. No. We need to cut the umbilical cord. There comes a point in time, well, funny that I should say that, because technically and literally, when a baby is born, if they don't cut the umbilical cord, they die. As newborns. So why do we continue to have the proverbial connection that way? And again, to those of you mothers and fathers who are not doing it, don't wear the shoes. And to you dads, your turn. Your baby girl is not a baby girl anymore. If she's making lousy, stupid decisions, take that off of your head. Because understand that for a girl, she will play you well, because girls are known to use strategy while guys use their egos. Girls know daddy's little girl syndrome goes a long way well into adulthood. Parents are supposed to be there to go, you're trying to get a house and you're short a few $100s, and if I have it, I'll give it. They're not supposed to go, let's get it. Don't worry about working, I got it. Parents are not supposed to be supporting their grandchildren. They're supposed to be spoiling them or adding on to what they have. Okay? You're not supposed to be, as a couple, having a child go to his mother for your weekly food list when you're working. Think is going to give the idea to that parent about your relationship. That because I'm contributing to it, I can contribute what I feel to it as well. But as a parent, we could never let them continue to do things that either we didn't teach them was right or crash and burn on purpose. Now, if after you've told them that, you can say, I'm going to save my peace and then I'm going to back off, because you're grown and you can make your own decisions. That's the part where many parents stop at. That's where they don't stop at, I should say. not only I don't like people giving you advice and then don't allow you to accept it or not. That's like you haven't been a person that smoked and smoked and smoked for years, and the day you finally got over it, you're telling that person, smoking is bad for you, that's just disgusting, you can't do it. That's wrong, you shouldn't. Smoking's a bad thing. I used to do it, and I could tell you. Everybody has to have room to learn life for themselves. They start with a foundation. They start with a list of guides. They start with something to branch off from. But each generation is supposed to make their own mistakes and improve and add to it. Technology changes things, whereas where we came from, technology was just the beginning. Before us, technology didn't exist, not in the way that we know it now. So you can't say, I don't use a microwave oven. If that's what you choose to do, great. But would you open up your mind to say, you can possibly learn something new from me? While I take the classic age-old working stable thing from you? There's a reason why in-laws from hell is such a common term. There's a reason why they make sitcom comedies over people pulling their hair out over their in-laws. Clean that way. The couch should go to the left. I don't think that painting is appropriate. Okay, thank you. I got it, but it's my place. There's a reason why it's called leaving the nest. Why at 18 the Lord says that if they should run away from your house, you're entitled to worry, but they're not required to tell you where. And if we don't start understanding that our love will never die, but our reins on them has to recede, we're never going to teach them to be accountable for their actions, to think for themselves, to have conflict resolution, to be better people, to be good, solid people, to understand that they're not entitled to get everything they want simply because they want it, that they're not entitled to get something back because they feel they've learned from their own mistakes. For example, we mothers that try to go to the ex-girlfriends that our sons have beaten up and try to convince them to come back so we can stop seeing our sons drown in the regret that they have for having lost that person. And then penalizing her or criminalizing her because she wouldn't do it. Just give him another chance. I think that he's learned. That's not your place. Your son has to suffer because he caused it to happen. Your daughter must suffer because she caused it to happen. The mother hen syndrome will never go away. So if your girlfriend is bringing the people to your son to get him beat up and he's trying his best not to do something, absolutely you could defend. You could be in the mix to let them know he's not alone. We're never going to stop doing that. But you don't have the right to get in the middle of it and say, you're wrong, you shouldn't have said that. Nope, that's not the way you do it. You're just a bad, trifling person. Your son picked her. Your daughter picked him. And if she chose to continue to go through stuff that didn't feel good for her, despite your disapproval, then your job is to stand back and go, I've said my piece. I'm going to be by your side, but I don't support this. But whatever makes you happy, I'll stand by and I'll respect your decision. That's the word, respecting their decision. Respecting their ability to get into things and have to make the decision to say, this is my bag of garbage and now I'm ready to put it out on the curb. That's something that my ex's aunt used to tell me. She hated everything she heard me going through with him. But she never talked against him and she never talked against me or never turned me away. She used to tell me, it's your bag of trash. I'm not in the middle of it. the day that they believe it's trash is the day that they'll take it to the curb and they'll come back and thank you for having said that you were disappointed with the situation, but allow them to make their move. That saying, you could lead a thirsty horse to the water, but you can't make them drink, there's a reason for all these cliches. They came from somewhere. And if your son, who you've been coddling well into his midlife crisis, is cursing you out when you don't give it to him, or he's pissed off at you, or he did find a one woman he wants to deal with now that you don't approve of, you're not going to get any good response. You're going to be enemy number one while he's in his dream fantasy land with woman number 44. Enabling them is not going to help. Darlene, you were going to say something before, and I think that we backed off a little bit and diverted.
No, I totally agree with everything that you are saying. Us as families, we do have a responsibility, and we play a big part of our children's growth and maturity. And if we don't allow them to be tested, they will never be able to experience. If you are the protector, the overseer, the controller, the empowered one at all times, you're not allowing the child to have his own personality or his individuality. And if you don't have that, then you can't make conscious decisions.
Right.
Real simple. You know, how you expect him to make those decisions if he's never been allowed to make them? You can't start too late, because the men, with all due respect, I love you guys, the maturity level is a little higher than ours. They take a little longer to catch on to some things. Us as the women, survival, skill, technique, you know, they have to learn certain things, and sometimes their process is a little longer than ours. However, if we are on their cases and we are teaching them the basics, how to be a man, how to be, you know, we can't teach them everything about a man, but we could teach them the basic and give them the basic tools to start them off. If we don't give them the basic tools to start them off, they have nothing to work with. They have no guideline. They have no blueprint. They have no nothing. So, you know, they're just at free will, which is a horrible place for a young man to be, not to have a mind of his own. That is terrible. That is dangerous. It's careless in this world today, especially for our black men.
Absolutely.
So we have to give them something to walk out the door with.
Absolutely.
Whether they walk out the door or stay in the house, they still need, and you have to, you, the parent, have to instill them in him.
Absolutely. You know what, Darlene? In the early example I gave of the mother that called the ex-wife and asked, why did she leave? My question when I heard it was, well, what the hell was she supposed to do? Stand there and risk her own life further because your son was crying? Why didn't that mother turn around and say, I'm here for you, I know it hurts, but maybe you could understand where it came from. Maybe you can understand if you love something, you're supposed to cherish it and respect it. Love is not supposed to hurt, not that way anyway.
Right. Parenting does not mean that we uphold our children for any and everything they do. Parenting simply means someone to guide you. That's it. That's our job, to help guide them, to help give them the basic tools. That does not mean that we're supposed to approve and go with and agree with everything. If my child is wrong, I am not going to uphold them in it. It's straight like that. I've had my children tell me, but you my mother, you supposed to have my back. Listen, I got your back when you're right.
Thank you.
I got your back when you're right. Call me negligent if you want. Call it whatever you want. Call BCW. I don't care. I'm not going to stand here and be that mother to say whatever my child do is fine. I'm not her.
Bingo. And here's the thing. Let's talk about our daughters. Our daughters are upset with their husbands and, or their other half. And they broke up. And because this person is mad at the husband, but he's a good father. And maybe she wants him back, or maybe they're supposed to be together and she wants it to happen now. If you go out and try to spread rumors of abuse that didn't exist, when real women have gone out there and been abused and had no help, when you go spreading rumors like my husband touched my kid to get the person to come in and investigate or do something like that, you just put your own children in a problem and lied on this person. So ask me if I'm going to support that.
No. I know you do.
Especially having been a real victim of all these things and having had no real good men around to do the right thing. It's so hard for black men to step up to the place that wants you. Because even when they're doing right, somehow, some way, society wants to pull something else that says, well, this little loophole, you know, negates all that you've done. I've seen plenty of men on our social media groups that are in pain because they are paying child support, that they want to see their children. And they've got mothers in the way going, no, you got a new girlfriend, so you can't see my child because I don't want her around them. Meanwhile, that's really hiding the fact that she's just jealous of the fact that that person is treating him better than it works with them.
But that's why when my son was like 12, 13, 14, I started talking to him on a serious note about girls, you know. And I told him simply like this, listen, your sister is in a category all by herself. I don't have to wonder if those are her babies because they come from her. I said, however, I'm showing you the best way I know how and giving you the information to protect yourself. It doesn't matter what the girl tell you. That's why I can't understand men talking about I don't want no baby, but then they don't want to protect themselves. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility as a man. Okay.
I tell my sons, if you dip the stick in the cookie jar until the DNA says otherwise, you are a possibility. There's about 6 minutes left in here, and I do want to ask this question, or I do want to say if you agree. Removing the rule of consequence is attached to this umbilical cord syndrome. When you sit there and tell your abusive son that because he's crying, I'm going to go and go to get the girl for you, rather than say, this is what will happen if you continue on this path. I know you're hurting, but why are you hurting? And this is why. If you don't tell them, I'm disappointed in you, but you're hurting and you're my child, so I've got your back. But at the same token, say, putting your hands on somebody is absolutely wrong. Then you teach that grown man that you can do whatever you want, and I'm always going to tell you it's okay.
Exactly.
That you're not entitled to have somebody walk out on you, or that person is not entitled to protect themselves and want something better. And that just because you want her back doesn't mean you're going to get her back, even if she did all the right things. That's the problem. Deacon, your final words, and then Salo, yours.
Well, there comes a time in all our children's lives where they either have to step it up and put on their big boy drawers and their big girl panties and get on with it. You know, because we're always going to be their parents. We're always going to be there for them and love them and everything. But it comes a time where they have to walk the walk themselves, because we all had to do it, so that's the way I see it.
Absolutely, Deacon. Good, powerful words, and you stay low.
You know, and I agree with Deacon that you know,
We need to encourage our children to be strong individuals. We need to encourage them family values. And I think everything we talked about just points out that we need to encourage parent participation, because an absent parent not only leaves a burden on the child to grow with, but also the other parent, and their interactions are also affected by that absence. So we just need to focus on the family values and focus on the fact that our children are looking to us for the example, okay? Not for us to live their lives for them. Just as an example, you know, if you do that, you can rest assured that you play, you've done your role, and just do that. Play a parent's role. Don't ever step into any other role. That's all I could say, I guess, that I got from everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, all three of my power panelists here tonight. And I will say, if you don't cut the umbilical cord, you will kill your children. Not so much physically, but you will kill their rights to be proper adults, to make their own decisions, to make their own mistakes, and to teach their children how to do the same. So until Thursday night, got to work the Rangers game tomorrow, everybody. Be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Darlene, thank you for popping up, because I definitely missed your input. Salo, as always, Deacon, as always, powerful support on and off the air and constant community activist, all three of you. So I appreciate
it. Love you, Darlene.
Love you, too, Z. Love you, panel.
All right. All right. Much love to everybody.
Night. Yeah. All right, good night and God bless everyone.
Good night, Carrie.
Everyone, yes. All right.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.